Well, here we are again at the last of this series that I've been opening up this new year with, Back to the Future. Again, taking the name from that movie trilogy. But it's all from chapter 1 of Mark. And it's really about being us coming back to the future. In Mark 1, we've seen two different things already. First of all, the future kingdom's arrival calls for total allegiance to the king. That was the first message. And then the second message was about the king's coming began a spiritual confrontation. That spiritual confrontation was with the powers of darkness. Well, in that movie, Back to the Future 3, if you'll remember it, if you saw it, Marty McFly took the time machine back into the past to save Doc Brown. He had to bring him a message of warning, but he also had to bring him safely back to the future. And that whole story, of course, and all those movies are fiction, but the gospel is real. And Jesus is the King who came to save us. He didn't just come to warn us about salvation and our need for salvation. He came to save us by bringing God's future into our history. Now that's a concept that you may have not ever recognized. But God, through Christ, brought the future into our time. It's an amazing thing. And that's what we've been talking about. He brought not only a warning, he said repent, that was in the first message, but a hopeful message of salvation and deliverance. But he didn't just do that either. He brought a powerful display of his future reign. He brought it with him, and he ministered that power and that display here with us by healing people and restoring redeemed humanity, which he's going to do in the future. But he's going to restore us completely then. Right now, we have significant, substantial healing and restoration in many, many facets of our lives. Christ's mission sealed the message of hope with the ministry of healing. That's what we said at the very beginning here. Well, today's text explores three interrelated ideas. One of them is healing, one of them is prayer, and one of them is mission. Healing displays the power of God. In verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Now, Christ moves in a direction. He moves in a direction from, it says here, the synagogue to the home. Jesus wants to work, not just in congregations, but he wants to work within family circles. He wants to work within homes. The home is an ideal place for God's power to be revealed. Healing prayer, prayer for healing, healing prayer should be a priority in our families, in our location, wherever we are at. This should be a place of healing prayer. This facility, this Eschaton Village, people when they hear of Eschaton Village, oh, I heard that there are some people praying over there for healing. And it's happening. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There would be revival, wouldn't there? Well, that's a priority in families. We see it in verse 30. Simon's mother-in-law. How many know that Simon was married? Peter was married. Yeah, he was married. He had a mother-in-law. And she was ill with a fever. A lot of people don't know, and some Catholics don't know that their first pope, they say that Peter was the first pope. Doesn't say that in Scripture, but they say that, and they claim him to be that. And if he is, he was married. Interesting. Well, anyway, Peter. This is Simon Peter's, his mother-in-law, was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. Now, that's something, you know. It's like, oh, she just ill today. Let's go on our business. No, that Jesus, she's sick. We need to bring sick people, people that are ill, we need to bring them to Jesus and talk to Jesus about it. They told Jesus about it. We need to tell people about people that need healing. Well, healing is a call to service. In verse 31, so he went to her and took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. How many people in convalescence get up and start serving? Well, she did, because she was completely healed. And healing is a call to service. If we're out of here, I mean, if it's done, and God's going to take us home when we're done. But if we still have a mission left, He's going to keep us. And it may just be prayer. It may just be prayer from a sick bed. But until we pray our last prayer, I keep telling people this, until we pray our last prayer, we're still on mission. But when we prayed our last prayer, up we go. We're done with our work. And you know what? We're not done yet. We got a lot of praying to do. We got to see some healing. God's idea of health, His idea of us being whole, is that we serve others. If we're not serving others, we're not healthy yet. We need to get healthy. We need to get healed. A home where Jesus heals may attract other people. It says in verse 32 and 33, that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. News got out that Jesus was healing people. He started with Peter's mother-in-law, but then he started healing a whole bunch of people, and they were gathering at the door. There were so many. How would it be if we started a healing service here and we couldn't stop the service, and the people were lined up at the door because there's not enough room in here? You know, what does it say here? There's some place in here it says, or used to say, 48 people, that's all we can have. Well, let's fill it up with 48 people at least, and maybe more. Okay. Well, God wants healing or wholeness to identify coming home to the future. Coming home to the future, because in His future, there will be healing, complete healing. It says in verse 34, Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. Illness of any kind, spiritual, psychological, physical, illness, disease of any kind, is an enemy to the future reign of Christ. And He brought that future reign here. That's not something He wants. That's not something He wants. He wants to deal with that. And we don't know exactly everything about it, but we're going to learn a little bit about how to find out when God wants us to pray for healing. Well, the ultimate healing, as I said, the ultimate restoration, the ultimate healing is in heaven, isn't it? We know that. We know that's why we want to go to heaven. We want to get our new bodies back. We want to get our eyes back, our teeth back, our hair back. We want to get everything back. And Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. A lot has been lost. And we want it back. Well, it's going to be restored ultimately. But in the meantime, Christ's work of healing announced the arrival of that heavenly future. It has already made a beachhead here in the old dispensation, in the old age that is passing away. What Paul calls this present evil age. Evil? Why is it evil? Because there's a lot of stuff in it that just ruins humanity. And we want to get rid of it. And God wants to get rid of it. He ultimately will, but He's established a beachhead with Christ's ministry coming, bringing the future into present time. Now, His gospel met our human needs. And it met our human needs in a lot of ways. Spiritually, physically, psychologically. His mission sealed the message of hope with a ministry of healing. And He told us, as the Father sent me, that word sent is the word mission. Okay, that's what mission means. It means sent. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Wow. We're called to this, aren't we? To be sent in the divine power of that future reign, we must, like Jesus, understand our need for prayer. We must understand our need for prayer. Prayer connects us to the presence of God. It connects us to the presence of God. Why did Jesus need to pray? Some people ask that question. He's the Son of God. Why did He need to pray if He was the Son of God? Well, listen to this. Try to capture this. This is really important. If you can get this, it'll just blow your mind. It blew mine. Prayer let God's Son experience as a man through the incarnation what he'd already known as God in the fellowship of the Trinity. I'm going to read it again. Prayer let God's Son experience as a man through incarnation what he'd always known as God in Trinitarian fellowship. Prayer was his ongoing means of communing with his Father in the Spirit. It was like he was in heaven in communion, but now as a man, he used prayer to connect himself and have communion with his Father through the Spirit. So when we become part of the family of the Trinity, and you say, what? We're becoming part of the family of the Trinity? Yes, we are. Have you ever had a person come into your family through marriage? They are called in-laws, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law. Guess what we are as the Bride of Christ? We're the daughter-in-law of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are in the family of the Trinity by marriage. Wow! Well, how do we stay connected with our family? It's through prayer. Prayer is our way of practicing the presence of God, just like Jesus did. He practiced the presence of his Father. He practiced it through the Spirit, and we have that Spirit to continue through prayer to practice that presence. He is our example. In verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He chose an alert time. You know, a lot of times Rosemary and I would pray before we go to sleep, and sometimes during the prayer, are you going to say amen? Or you fall asleep. That's not an alert time. But in the morning, especially after you've had your coffee, in the morning is an alert time. And Jesus chose an alert time to pray, and it became a habit in his life. And he sought privacy, a solitary place. Group prayer, like we do here, we pray to our Father. But group prayer is great. It's wonderful. We ought to do it. But private prayer is essential. Private prayer, where we are intimate and personal with God, that helps us in our ongoing walk with God. Him being in our presence and we being in His presence, an ongoing thing. So private prayer does something. Private prayer, which Jesus did, private prayer precedes spiritual work. Private prayer precedes spiritual work. It must be done. Jesus knew that. So he went to prayer and then he did his ministry. It helped him to communicate and learn what the Father wants, to be aware of the inner voice of the Spirit. When you pray and you listen in your prayer, you become aware of the Lord speaking to you. And you get better and better and better at it as you do it, just like with anything. That's how humans are made. We're made to get better at something by practice. So we need to practice the presence of God through prayer so that we can hear Him speaking to us and respond to Him immediately, like Jesus did. That's how He did His ministry. So we look at what Jesus did, this idea of, you know, Terry, when you were in war, you had to have a communication system. You had to have walkie-talkie. You had to know what was going on. You had to have a good communication system. We are in war. This is, you know, the battle hymn of the Republic. We had it sung today because, yes, we are. We are in a battle and we are soldiers. And we need to have a good communication system in the battle. And listening prayer is our communication system. By listening prayer, we hear what the strategy is and what the commander and chief wants us to do, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to say. That would have been a good song. That song that has, I forget, we'll have to look it up. One of those songs that say where to go, what to do, what to say. I love that song. Well, anyway, Jesus kept sensitive. Hearing this inner voice was his whole ministry because he listened. He became sensitive. He kept his sensitivity to God's power for his healing work. How did he do that? Well, he did it through prayer. But I just want to read this from Luke. One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were there, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now I read theology in that. The power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Did Jesus heal on his own? No. He never did one thing on his own as far as ministry was concerned. People think that. And I've seen it in theology books. This verse of Scripture blows their theology apart. Jesus did not do anything on his own. He only did what he saw his Father doing and spoke what he heard from his Father. He said that again and again. And then he says, follow me. Do the very same thing. Listen to your Father. Listen to me. Because he's got. Now we have Jesus in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We can listen to Jesus the way he listened to his Father. And we can be like people on the battlefield, knowing where to go, what to do, what to say. And you know, he prayed for his spiritual supply of strength to be renewed. That's why he went out in the morning before he began his work. He had to get his battery charged. He had to get his battery charged. He was a human being. He had become flesh to dwell among us. He became a real man. He became one that was not depending on his own power, but on God's power, and he needed that prayer to recharge himself. And here's why I know that. In Luke it says, those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people tried to touch him because power was coming from him to heal them all. Power was coming from him. And listen to this. When the woman had touched his cloak was healed, Jesus at once realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Because he felt power coming out of him. Now, if you have abundant power, you are limitless. You have no limit. If anybody tapped into your power, that would be insignificant. It wouldn't decrease anything at all. You wouldn't feel anything leaving because it's just complete. It's just completely renewed all the time. No. He felt power go out of him. And many times he had to withdraw himself and pray. Jesus said it that he did nothing on his own power or with his own power. He carried out his ministry as a human being filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could realistically say to us, follow me. Do as I do. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And he did that right before he prayed for the Holy Spirit to come on them. That's what he said, those words, when the Holy Spirit, who had filled him, and come upon him before his ministry in his baptism, if you remember. Well, God still heals today. But a lot of churches don't see healing as part of their ministry. They don't see it as part of their mission. And that's why we need to get back to the future. We need to get back to the future that Jesus brought. And he brought it and he revealed it right here, just as Jesus did. You know, he revealed it here. In this, the early church, we think of the early church. Did they have a healing ministry? Yes, they did. If you read the early church fathers, very early on, there's many, many cases of healing. In the New Testament, the book of Acts is full of it. About healing, where God is actually continuing on this ministry. So the church, the early church, sealed their message of hope with the ministry of healing, just as Jesus did. Prayer kept them sensitive to the presence of God in their lives, kept them sensitive that Jesus was still among them, still wanting to work, and they could follow in that way. They could follow Christ's pattern of ministry. We still need to follow Christ's pattern of ministry here today because we are followers of Jesus. That's what we claim to be. We need to be those followers. Well, the presence that we need, practicing God's presence, the presence of God gives birth to mission. It gives birth to mission. The message of hope and the ministry of healing are still in demand today, as it was then. In verse 36 and 37, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." If today's believers reconnected with the future and got back to the future, which Jesus brought to us, he brought to us in his ministry, the future, we'd see everybody, we'd see everyone looking for us. They'd be looking for us. They'd say, "Well, where is he? Or where is she? She prayed for her, and she got well. She prayed for him, and she got well. I want to find her. I want to find him who did that." You know, they'd be looking for us, just as they sought Jesus. God's dynamic presence gives us a sense of mission. It gives us a sense of mission. We can't get away from it. If we have God's presence in our life, God is a missionary God. God wants to go. He wants to do things on this planet. He wants to heal. He wants to give the message of truth where there is darkness. He wants to bring his light. God's dynamic presence in our lives, as we practice it through prayer, gives us this sense of mission. Gives us this sense of mission. Verse 38. Jesus replied to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. I have come to spread the good news, not to keep it locally here. I've come to spread the good news." So Jesus looked for and he went to those who had not yet heard the good news, the gospel. And he wants us to keep on doing that. Or he wants to keep on doing that through us. Jesus hasn't left his mission. He just has transferred his mission through us. And he wants to keep on doing that mission. Jesus knew that his mission, what it was, exactly what it was, and he was committed to it. He was totally committed to it. That is why I have come. And that is what he wants us to be committed to. He wants to be committed to the same commission. And that word commission is a very interesting word, because what that word commission means, we've been commissioned. That word commission means with or together, sent. We are doing this job together. We're not alone. Jesus has multiplied himself. He's not just one person. He started with 12. Now he's all over the world. And he's here at Eschaton in this church because we are his people. Jesus looked for and went to those who had not heard his good news. And Jesus was committed to that mission, and he wants us to be. When Jesus manifests his healing presence, it's a reminder to us. Whenever there's a person healed, it's a reminder to us that the ministry of healing is still on God's agenda. He's not forsaken it. It's still on God's agenda. God sent his Son, the future King, with a mission that sealed the message of hope with the ministry of healing. His mission is now our commission. We are sent together to do this job. Because Christians on earth, the believers, the church, the bride of Christ, Christians on earth are the divine presence of that future kingdom. We are the divine presence of the future. We are. We are from the future now because we've joined to the kingdom of the future. We are people of the future. And we serve the future King who began his ministry of defeating the devils. Remember what they said? "Are you here before the time? Are you here before the appointed time?" They knew that it was way in the future. They didn't know that the future was going to invade their present world and start disrupting it. And that's what we need to do. Because we are that presence. We were sent and we're following a king who has brought defeat to the demonic powers. And Jesus is still telling us today, "As the Father sent me, so send I you. As the Father sent me, so send I you." We love the gospel. The gospel is a wonderful, liberating thing in our lives. It's brought salvation, forgiveness of sins, and many other things. But the gospel isn't just a ticket through the pearly gates. That's not what the gospel is. It will get us through the pearly gates, But that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is a summons. It's a summons into the ranks of the church militant before we ever see the church triumphant and become a part of the church triumphant in heaven. The gospel invites us to salvation. We're so thankful for that. But it also calls us to allegiance to the King. And it calls us to spiritual warfare. And it calls us to a ministry of healing. It's a call to bring the message of Christ's future reign and the present power of Christ's deliverance and His healing to others in this present evil age, in this present world that is passing away, to bring that future into reality in our lives as we touch other lives as well. It's the Holy Spirit's call to the church. The gospel is the Holy Spirit's call to the church. Get back to the future. Get back to the future and live it. Live it now. Don't wait for it. Live it now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this word. Lord, this should be a galvanizing word to send us on our way through this new year. Lord, we want to be your people indeed, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Lord, you brought the future to us. You began to manifest it. You manifested it through the early church as they spread the message around. It was a message of hope that was sealed with a ministry of healing. Lord, Christians should be known for healing. And I pray, Father God, that we here at Eschaton, at this little village community church, will be a place of healing, but also known for healing, that people will see it in their homes, will see it in their apartments, will see it all around the village, that people who go to that church pray for healing, so I can go to them when I have a need and I can ask them for prayer. Lord, I pray that that become a reality here, this coming year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.